Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast this Christmas Eve. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. As we approach the celebration of our Lord's birth, let us remember that He came into the world to save us from our sins. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can not only find us on the web at equip.org, you can also listen to Hank Unplugged podcast at equip.org. We have had some of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet on the podcast, and I hope if you have not tuned in to any of those podcasts, you will do so. These are transcendently important because I'm talking about people who are making a difference for time and for eternity. Well, today, of course, is Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Eve, I want to talk about Mass. I want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about miracles, Advent, salvation. In previous programs this week, I talked about Christ, history, resurrection, incarnation, Santa Claus, and traditions, all part of my Christmas acronym. Now, the final three letters, the first of which represents miracles. Modernity has left many with the false impression that the virgin birth is nothing more than ancient superstition. But in reality, miracles are not only possible, they are absolutely necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. And I've said this before, but it bears repeating. According to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, but it's unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. And not only that, but the origin of life, information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity in biological systems, and the phenomenon of the human mind pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. And therefore, reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer who periodically intervenes in the affairs of His created handiwork. In other words, if we're willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we should have no problem whatsoever accepting the incarnation, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We're in fact compelled by reason and evidence to acknowledge that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin, and the miraculous preservation of God's word via manuscripts, archaeology, and prophecy provide a cumulative case for the reliability of Scripture and thus the miracles codified in those sacred pages. We can legitimately appeal to Scripture as supernatural evidence for the virgin birth itself. Moreover, Christ, who demonstrated that He is God in human flesh through the supernatural fact of His resurrection, pronounced these very Scriptures infallible. And if Christ concurs with the biblical record of the virgin birth, no one should have the temerity to contradict His claim. As we encounter those who capriciously cast aspersions on the miraculous nature of the virgin birth, we do well to remember that it is our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility, to use our well-reasoned responses as springboards for demonstrating that the historical account of Christ's coming in flesh is faith-founded on a refutable fact. I want to move quickly to the A, the second to the last letter in our Christmas acronym, the A which represents Advent. The term Advent literally means coming. And as such, Advent is a reason for the season, a season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The glory of Advent finds its genesis way back in the Old Testament, in prophecies that point forward to the coming, to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Moses' prophecy that God would raise up a prophet like him from among the Israelites typologically points forward to the prophet, not a prophet, but the prophet Jesus Christ. Within the context of the Old Testament, the prophecy that God would raise up another prophet, a prophet like Moses, was fulfilled in the forefuture in Joshua. Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. Additionally, if you add to the near future fulfillment in Joshua, this prophecy comes to be understood as pointing forward to an eschatological prophet, a prophet who would lead the people of God as a new Moses, as a new Joshua. Because as Joshua, and remember I talked about this on Monday, as Joshua means salvation, we also remember that Joshua led the children of Israel into the land of promise. And that because of that, we can be certain that Jesus will lead his people into the new Jerusalem. Not the old Jerusalem, but the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. The Gospel of John reveals that this hope, this certain hope, was alive and well in the first century. And Stephen implicitly identifies Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. Remember, he did that in an impassioned sermon for which he was literally stoned to death. And in that way, both Moses' prophecy and its near future fulfillment in Joshua, they serve as types of the great prophet of God, who not only spoke the words of God, but was himself the Word made flesh. The beauty of the gospel is that Abraham, father of many nations, was promised a royal seed, and that royal seed is Jesus Christ. However, as the Apostle Paul explains, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent chosen covenant community connected by the cross. Here's the point. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise. The mystery is this, says St. Paul, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Of course, there's more. The celebration of the coming of Christ in flesh is an everyday reality. And as such, when we celebrate the daily advent of Christ through prayer and praise and proclamation of the Word, we have a privilege. In prayer, we have a privilege of expressing thanksgiving to the one who saved us, who sanctifies us, and one day will glorify us. In praise, and not just praise during Advent, but throughout the year, we express the essence of our faith in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in proclamation, we correct, we rebuke, we encourage. And remember, we do that with great patience and careful instruction. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about the daily Advent in another sense. This is so important because Advent is not just a once in the year celebration, it ought to be something that we have part of the warp and woof of our daily life. We're going to talk more about Advent when we come back from the break, and then we're going to crown the broadcast on Christmas Eve by talking about that singularly important word, the S in Christmas, salvation. As we go to break, I want to thank you for supporting this ministry prayerfully and financially. When you do that, you make a difference. We communicate what we communicate because truth matters, but also because life matters. Because we can not only know about Christ, but we can experience Christ. He can become more real to us than the very flesh upon our bones. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it, the mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning film provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before the break, I was talking about the A in the Christmas acronym, which represents Advent. Advent, as I said, is a season in which Christians in the Christian church celebrate the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's also an everyday reality. The daily Advent of Christ is celebrated through community and confession and contribution. When I talk about community, I'm talking about something that's visible in baptism. Baptism, which is a time of repentance, baptism through which we are forgiven, cleansed, incorporated in the body of Christ, united with Christ Himself. And with the body of Christ, we are made one in the one made flesh. In like fashion, the Eucharist is an expression of our oneness in Christ. As we all partake of the same elements, we partake of Christ Himself, Christ through whom we are made one. A further expression of our oneness in the Christ of Christmas is, of course, our common confession of faith. As we celebrate the daily Advent of our Savior by testifying to what we believe and why we believe and in whom we have believed, we make Advent an everyday reality. The gospel of Christ should become a part of our vocabulary. It should become second nature. Defending the faith is likewise not optional. It should be a basic competency of everyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon our lips. That's part of the mission of the Christian Research Institute. And in addition, to be prepared to communicate what you believe and why you believe, we have to be empowered to communicate who we believe. And that's especially essential in that virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. I should note that just as there is a first Advent and a daily Advent, so too there's a final Advent. And as the focus of the first Advent is Christ coming in flesh, so too, think about this, the focus of the second Advent is Christ coming in flesh. It doesn't happen once. It's going to happen again, and that of an absolute certainty. But this time, He's not going to come as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This time He will come as a bridegroom carrying His bride over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem. As Canaan provided temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham, the coming of Christ will provide eternal rest for His spiritual descendants. So in the final Advent, the land promises God made to Abraham will be fully and finally consummated in a paradise lost that has become paradise restored. As such, Canaan is typological of a renewed cosmos. Abraham, like Isaac and Jacob, viewed living in the promised land in much the same way that a stranger would view living in a foreign country. Why? Well, because as the writer of Hebrews, St. Paul, makes plain, he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham looked beyond binding borders, behind boundaries, to a day in which the meek would inherit the earth. I don't know about you, but the more I think about the new heaven and the new earth, the more exciting it is. It is simply incredible to think that one day soon, we will not only experience the resurrection of our carcasses, we will experience the renewal of the cosmos and the final advent of our Creator. the one who knit us together in our mother's wombs. We will quite literally have heaven on earth. Not only will we experience God's fellowship as Adam and Eve actually did in the garden, but we will see the second Adam, Jesus Christ, face to face. Think about it. God in flesh will live in our midst. And we will never come to an end of exploring the infinite, inexhaustible one who declared, "I am." Or for the grandeur and glory of his incomparable restored universe. Those who die in Christ will experience the new heavens and the new earth as both a physical place in creation and as the personal presence of the Creator. Here's what I mean. The dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, said St. John, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And then, well, then there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." So this year, as you celebrate the first advent of our Lord, may his presence in word and sacrament sustain you spiritually. And may you fix your focus with eager anticipation on the final advent of the Babe of Bethlehem, now a bridegroom, returning with you and me and multitudes from all generations throughout time, returning as his bride. The final letter in our Christmas acronym, and this applies in this case, last but not least, the S in Christmas, well, that reminds us of the word salvation. Perhaps in the noise surrounding modern-day Christmas celebrations, you can still hear the faint echo of Isaiah's earth-shattering pronouncement. Remember the words. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, will call him Emmanuel, and he will save his people from their sins. Isaiah's prophetic words foreshadow a triple barrier. The first barrier is that of nature, and that barrier is forever shattered by Christ's incarnation. His kenosis is our theosis. As Christ set aside that first barrier by his incarnation, so too he set aside a second barrier. That second barrier is sin, and he did that by his death. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But there is a third barrier. The sting of death itself, this third and final barrier, has forever been voided through resurrection. Through resurrection, the sting of death has been swallowed up in victory. And as we have been saying this week, resurrection is a certainty. For Christ most certainly rose from the dead, and so too we will rise. As Christians, we will rise immortal, imperishable, and incorruptible. Think about it. Think about it this day before we celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the Christmas acronym. Again, we talked about Christ, history, resurrection, incarnation, Santa, even Santa can be redeemed, traditions, miracles, Advent, and lastly, salvation. On tomorrow's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we celebrate a special broadcast on a very special day. I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas as you think about what's really important. And thank you so much for your support, for tuning in to this special series, my Christmas acronym leading up to tomorrow when we celebrate the coming of Christ in flesh, a special edition. I hope you'll be able to tune in. Thanks for tuning in to this series. We'll see you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.